This episode is brought to you by FinditNWA.com, your hyper-local business directory connecting you with the best of Northwest Arkansas. Whether you're looking for a new place to eat, a trusted service provider, or unique local shops, FinditNWA has you covered. We also highlight businesses with a featured listing on the site. That means if you're a small business owner in NWA, you could be next. Discover more at FinditNWA.com.
Welcome back to another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn, and today we have an incredible story to share. Joining me is none other than Mallory Files, the creative force and entrepreneurial spirit behind Ozark Charcuterie and Wine Bar. And I always mess up charcuterie, so that's it. And anyway, Mallory's journey is a testament to resilience, creativity, and the power of saying yes to new opportunities. From pivoting away from a corporate marketing career that drained her spirit to building a thriving business that's gone viral and captured the hearts and appetites of so many in Northwest Arkansas, Mallory has done it all. But her story doesn't stop there. Mallory has also turned her personal pain into purpose, advocating for domestic violence awareness and working closely with the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter to make a real difference in our community. Today, we're diving deep into her inspiring journey, her passion for storytelling, and her vision for the future of her brand. So whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, a food lover like me, or someone who believes in the power of using business for good, you're going to love this conversation. Let's get started.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Here's our host, Randy Wilburn.
Hey, Mallory, thank you so much for joining us on the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. It's so good to finally sit down and connect with you, and shout out to Mary Mickle and Andrea Ritchie for putting you on my radar, even though I had heard about you. And I spied out a few of your reels from time to time on Instagram because you do a really great job with that. And we'll be sure to share that information in the show notes. I'm so glad just to kind of sit down with a young up-and-coming entrepreneur here in Northwest Arkansas that doesn't take no for an answer and really kind of sets out to forge her own path. Is that about sum it up?
Yeah. I really don't take no for an answer. And yes, major shout out to Mary and Andrea. Love them so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I never take no for an answer. And I definitely learned to advocate for myself. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, I think it's important to be able to do that. And I would love for you to just kind of share your superhero origin story with our audience and tell them a little bit about you, and then we can start talking about Ozark Charcuterie.
Yeah. Okay. So I grew up in Texas. I played all the sports you can possibly play. I grew up on this beautiful nursery farm. So I was surrounded by like 70 acres of greenhouses full of beautiful flowers, and we lived at the dead center of it on a 1 acre plot. And
this was your family's farm?
Yes.
Okay, very cool.
My stepfamily's farm.
Okay.
But like during all that time, I used sports and competitiveness as like an escape to just kind of get out of that space. And I left Fayetteville I left
Texas.
Texas.
It's all good.
I left Texas. I left Texas very shortly after my dad passed away.
Okay.
And I was really just trying to escape all of that. And I ran away to Fayetteville and I started my collegiate career here. I didn't play any sports in college. I started with political aspirations. Like I wanted to be a politician. I wanted to be the president. You know, I wanted to do, these big things.
And were you a poli sci major? Mm-hmm. Oh, you were. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you finish as a poli sci major?
No.
Okay.
No. But shortly after I got here,
yeah,
my mom, she and I are really close. And I told her that I was going out for the first time because I was severely depressed when I got here. Just kind of trying to, find my footing after my dad passed away. And I told her, I was like, I'm going out tonight. We're going to go hit frat houses and with my girls. And she was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm so excited for you. Although, like, what mom says that, but she was just thrilled, you know, that I was getting out and doing something. And midnight hits and I feel this like visceral, aggressive, like punch to my gut. And I am like, I need to go home. And so I just walk out, don't tell anybody. And I just walk and I go home and I call my then boyfriend, now husband, Chris. And I tell him, I'm like crying to him. He's 6 hours away. I'm like, there's something wrong. I don't know what's wrong. He was like, I think maybe like you're really tired and like, you know, you're kind of going through a lot right now and maybe just like go to bed. And yeah. So I just went to bed. I didn't tell my mom that I got home and I wake up in the morning and I get a call from her like 8:30. And I'm like in the morning, I'm like, who is calling me at this ungodly hour? And she was like, Mallory, wake up. I need you to wake up right now. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't call you when I got home. She's like, no. Sit up, wake up. And I was like, okay. And so she's like, I have to tell you something and I don't know how to tell you. So I'm just going to just rip it off like a Band-Aid. And I said, okay. She goes, your sister, Kaylee, has died. And I said, what do you mean? My Kaylee? She was like, yes. And I said, what happened? She goes, I don't really know. The only thing I know is that her husband killed her. And that's all I know. And I'm on my way to get you. I said, okay. So then that started like the 2-year legal battle of trying to get her killer behind bars. And that wrapped up. And then I ended up graduating college. And I just kind of fell into this marketing job that I had. And I loved at first a lot. And then I became drained and burnt out. And I had a mental health crisis. And
wait, you know, let's back up for a second, because you ran right into the marketing position. But while I know that, you know, the whole situation with your sister probably kind of reorganized your whole life.
Oh, it had to have. Yes.
And I know when we spoke about this before we actually sat down for this interview, you talked about, it sounded like just dealing with the loss of your sister and the way you lost her was kind of an all-consuming fire for you for a short period of time. My only question to you was, how were you able to navigate that and school at the same time?
It was so hard. I finished with a really great GPA, like 3.7 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I just knew that if I didn't like show up for myself, like nobody else was. I kind of had the realization that nobody is going to save me. Like, I will be the only one to save me. And so I knew that if I didn't finish college, if I didn't show up for myself, that I was doing myself a disservice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, when you told me that, my heart sank originally. And I was just like, man, you know, because we've all seen those stories on Dateline of, of, you know, women that are killed by their husbands and crazy things like that. And husbands that are killed by their wives. So it goes both ways. But I mean, this was had to have been as deeply personal as it could be for you in a time of your life when, you know, you're really maturing and growing up, right? So
right.
I feel like you were just kind of thrown into the fire with this.
Right. And I was thrown into the fire. And also it's like, I look to my left and I look to my right and my peers aren't dealing with the same like level of stress. I'm like, you're
and
worried.
Trauma.
In trauma, I'm like, you're worried about going to a party. I'm worried if he's going to get out on bail, you know, my sister's killer. And so it was really hard for me to find friends in college. Once I found my group and we were solid, but it took me a minute. And yeah, I learned to advocate for myself and advocate for my sister. That was a big part of my freshman, sophomore and junior years of college. I worked really closely with the prosecuting team. Mm-hmm. I did not leave them alone. I said, I want every, you know, step of the way. I showed up to every hearing. I would drive the 5 hours home for, you know, on a Thursday for a Friday hearing and drive back Sunday, sometimes Saturday, if I had something going on Sunday. I also worked 3 jobs in college. So
not to be undone, right?
Right, so, right, yeah. Right. But I also kind of used all this stuff to kind of keep it at, you know, bay, keep myself distracted.
Well, and I think, you know, you kind of have to do that, right? I mean,
right.
that's the only way sometimes that we can cope as
right.
human beings when we're going through a very stressful event.
Yeah.
Is to stay busy and
yes.
to keep ourselves engaged. Otherwise, if you don't, like, you know, as they say, like the boogeyman definitely will come and get you as far mm-hmm. as you just allowing so many things to pervade your thought and cause you to think negatively about stuff when in reality, you always have to be looking at the positive aspects of life in spite of everything else that's going on around us.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I could say the same thing about, well, never mind. I won't get into that. But yes, I mean, it is kind of the way that you have to look at things. And I certainly applaud you for that. And I do want to come back and talk a little bit about your dedication and desire to advocate for other victims of domestic violence. But I wanted to talk with you a little bit about how you got here. I mean, this beautiful facility that we're in, we're kind of like nestled here in the corner off of Mountain Street in Fayetteville. You're kind of back around the corner in a little speakeasy spot underneath. But when you walk in here, there's just something about the ambiance and the calmness that came over me when I literally walked in here. Now, there's nobody in here, but you have it set up so nicely. And I would have to imagine that what we're seeing in this spot is really an extension of who Mallory is.
Yes, that was my goal. And I love hearing when people say that they feel something very obvious when they walk in here, like calming. They feel at home. They feel peaceful. They feel safe.
Yeah.
That has been something that I hear at least twice a week, you know, yeah. Somebody that I'm interacting with, my customers. So that means a lot to me that you say that.
Yeah.
But how I got here, so kind of picking back up. So after I graduate from college, I have that marketing job and I learn a lot in that marketing job. Mm-hmm. Like I would not be here without that job, without the like vital marketing strategy that I learned, but I was very drained. And so I quit that job very abruptly. I had a mental health crisis. And it was just because of everything that kind of led up to that. I didn't really let myself process my dad's death or my sister's death and the trauma that came with both of those deaths.
Yeah.
So I had a therapist and she said, I just want you to try to be creative with something. You're obviously a very creative person. Just find something that inspires you. Find somebody that inspires you and give it a shot. And yeah. I was like, that's very ambiguous. Okay. And so I was like, well, I can make a charcuterie board, I guess. And so I just like made one. And then I took it to my church friends and took it to like my girlfriends. And they all were like, this is like phenomenal. You should start a business. And I'm like, you guys are really just blowing smoke up my skirt because you know that I'm struggling right now, but thank you so much. And then one of them actually ordered from me, like wanted to pay me for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? You want to pay me money? And she was like, yeah, I do. You're super talented. I said, okay. And so I did that. And that's kind of where it all started. And then I thought about what I wanted the business to be named. And all during this, I was stocking shelves at Target, just putting that out there.
Wow.
Because we needed a little bit of income. My husband had a steady job, but it wasn't enough to really like pay all of our bills.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, and absolutely. So I would put my headphones in. I would work the 6 a.m. shifts and just stock shelves. And it was so peaceful and nice. I like sped through the Twilight series. I'd never read them before.
So Audible was your
friend. Audible was my friend.
What about podcasts?
I don't know if I listened to podcasts. I didn't listen to podcasts. Okay, I listened to the Twilight series.
That's very cool.
Yeah,
so I've talked to a lot of people that have the ability when they work certain jobs to listen to things. And some people listen to music. Some people listen to books.
Yeah.
Some people listen to podcasts.
Right.
So, I mean, it does make the time go a little faster and it kind of keeps you engaged.
Yes. Yeah. And also just like, I was at such a low. I was like, I can't believe I'm here stocking shelves at Target. I was like, I have a college degree. I've gone through all of this. And I'm here at Target stocking shelves. It was a real humbling moment for me.
And sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's totally fine. I do want to mention in terms of the start of Ozark Charcuterie, there was one individual that really had a profound impact on you in terms of pulling this together. And I always tell people that more is caught than taught. But talk to us just a little bit about your grandmother who really impacted a lot of the things that you have now infused into what people experience when they actually come to Ozark Charcuterie.
Yes. Okay. So my wonderful and sweet Mimi, her name is Mary Carolyn. She goes by Carolyn and she actually, we named our daughter after her.
Okay.
Lucy's middle name is Carolyn. And she just exudes creativity and passion in the kitchen, like beyond just like cooking, like for your family. Like yeah. It goes so far beyond that. Her impact on me when I was little, she would make these one, like these pancakes, and she would draw out our favorite characters in pancake batter, or like our names, like in this beautiful cursive. She would make these extravagant Easter cakes. And not only did they look good, but they tasted wonderful.
Yeah.
And so when I was sitting kind of in that horrible spot, I thought about a place that brought me so much peace. And that was my Mimi and my granddaddy's house. And they have a ranch in East Texas. And it always just brought me so much joy. I never wanted to leave. I always wanted to be there. I felt so safe.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in a really unsafe household. And so just being there was just so wonderful. And so she just still to this day, like very much impacts everything that I do for this business, really. When I'm able to create food, like food art pieces, mm-hmm. I'm like thinking of my Mimi all the time. And yeah. So she means so much to me and my family and Lucy, because she's still alive. She was recently diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So
sorry to hear that.
It has been really challenging for our family and for my mom and for just for everybody involved, and especially my Mimi, because she's still like there, mm-hmm. but she knows she's like losing some things. And yeah. So it's hard to watch somebody that you love so deeply and that has impacted your life so, so much kind of lose themselves.
Yeah.
And so Lucy, she goes, I had to go to my Mimi and granddaddy's house. Where's my Mimi? Where's my Mimi? And my Mimi never forgets Lucy. Like that is like one thing that she never forgets is Lucy. So it just is so wonderful. And yeah, so my Mimi means a lot to me.
I love that. I love hearing stories like that because I think we all need inspiration.
Yeah.
And certainly it's a blessing that you actually had the ability to call on that inspiration from your grandmother, which has, you know, slowly seeped into what you're doing here at Ozark Charcuterie.
Yes.
And I will say this, that, you know, I always tell people half of the good aspect of eating good food is the presentation. And I watched a lot of your videos. I've watched a lot of your charcuterie boards. I've looked at a lot of pictures and I'm just like, man, they do look like mini works of art, right? Where you've put time into, I mean, how do you flour a salami? But I mean, you do. And it's like, yeah, it's like, so you have skills that, I mean, are just like really kind of set you apart from a lot of other people. And you've kind of tapped into like this thing, because growing up, I've got you by a few years, but charcuterie boards weren't a thing back in the day. And they have become a really big deal.
Yeah. I mean, like meat and cheese platters, boards, whatever, I think have always been on the fields.
Yeah, like, but they've just been thrown together. It was just right. Like, let's cube up some cheese. Right. Let's just cut some meat slices, throw it out there right. with some ranch dressing and some toothpicks and call it a day.
Right. And now we've taken it from that to like this luxury item.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of took something that was already done in a way and just made it luxury.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm definitely not the first person to come up with the idea of a charcuterie business, but I was one of the first that has come to this level.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's one of the things I don't want it to be lost on our listeners. You talked about just, you know, how it slowly turned into an actual business.
Mm-hmm.
How did I know you did some pop-up events early on. And then kind of just this whole concept. And I really loved it when you said it, because you said it with such an innocence of, you just said, I got to a place where I just said yes to everything. Mm-hmm. Any opportunity that came for me to share what I was passionate about, which in this case was charcuterie and just how you put these things together, you said yes to. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I would love to. So I sat about 3 months postpartum on my couch with my newborn daughter in my arms. And I looked at her and I looked around me and I said, nobody needs me beyond this house. And that to me was so unsettling. Like, I don't know why. I just felt like this was not it for me.
Yeah.
Lucy, at that time, I was like, she means the world to me. I would do anything for her. I would do anything for my husband. But I was like, would I do anything for me?
Yeah.
And so I had this full-time job still, and I was coming back into it, like, I was about to run out of my maternity leave, And I still had Ozark charcuterie. I was still, you know, not taking orders from that maternity leave. And I just told Chris as I was sobbing on the couch. And, you know, postpartum hormones are a real thing. And I'm sure that was elevating it. But the feelings and the like thought behind it was very real to me. And I said, okay, I'm going to say yes to every single thing that I possibly can, even if that means that I'm not home for dinner, that I might not see Lucy as much as I want to. I might not be around Chris as much as I want to. I just need to give myself a chance. And so I said yes to every single pop-up, everything that I possibly could. I would reach out to people if they were like, we're trying out this new event. Would you please like come be a vendor? I would have to pay to go. So I'd have to pay $30 to go.
Right.
And guess how many sales I made?
None.
Correct. So I was out $30 that I paid. And then all of my product is perishable.
Yeah.
So it's out all of the product costs. So I lost like probably $150 that day.
But people would eat what you brought for the most part.
Yeah. But I mean, like if I'm trying to sell it at the table,
you
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so by the end of it, I'm like, here, just take it. Just take it so I don't have to throw it away.
Right.
And so, you know, I think I had like six or seven of those kind of events that I would go to. And then I got to a point where I just changed my marketing strategy. And that's when I saw like the biggest difference. But it was because I said yes to all these things. I learned so much from saying yes.
Yeah.
And I had this like mind shift change of like, okay, well, yeah, I made zero sales today, but what did I learn today?
Yeah.
I learned, okay, don't bring this much product. Maybe you need another ice chest. Oh, let's get this sign instead. Like, let's try to get email addresses, you know? So I just really tried to reframe all of these failures into learnings. And when I made that shift too, it also helped kind of change my perspective and made people look at me a little bit differently. And I would do these like little self vlogs every day, like things that I learned.
Yeah.
And so then I could go back, and I still go back and I look at them and I kind of giggle at myself. I'm like, oh girl. But yeah. And so I just documented everything.
I love that. Well, and yeah, and that's a big thing. Gary Vaynerchuk always says, document, don't create, just document.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes all, well, first of all, it makes it easier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I personally wish I could just have a vlogger walk with me as, throughout my day. And I've thought about getting somebody, actually I have somebody that has agreed to do it for me. I just have to make the time, you know, and follow me around, even like doing stuff like this. But I think it's important. I want to go back to just that whole concept of saying yes, because I don't want that to be lost on people. Did you happen to read the book that Shonda Rhimes wrote about the year of saying yes?
No.
Okay. So it's an amazing book. Do you know who Shonda Rhimes
is?
Yes,
of course.
Okay. So, well, one of the things that got her over the top in terms of her directing and producing so many top dramas on TV is that she just learned to say yes. And a lot of times it's kind of counterintuitive, right? Because a lot of people say, oh, well, you say yes to too many things. And sometimes you need to say no to things. But there are seasons of our lives when we go through, when we're trying to do something, and you really do need to put yourself out there. And part of the way of putting yourself out there is saying yes to things.
Exactly.
And putting yourself into sometimes unfamiliar environments, places where maybe you're not as comfortable as you think you should be.
Right.
And it helps you to grow.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's just part of it. And what do you say? If you're a diamond, you can only become a diamond under pressure.
Exactly. Yes. So. That is exactly like was my mindset of like, I've got to make myself uncomfortable. And every time that I would be uncomfortable, I kind of loved it low key because I was like, I am learning something today. And even if I like literally fall straight on my face, I don't care.
We'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't care. And I will say like one of the biggest pieces of advice that I have for any business owner is get so scrappy. Be so scrappy. Be lean and be scrappy. Like, don't be afraid to, you know, like do whatever you need to do within reason, like be ethical people, but like, you know, just get so scrappy.
Well, and so, and you mentioned something about what you did in terms of documenting what you did every day. My wife is actually going through that right now because she's going through some challenges in her midlife and she's trying to document it because she's like, there's not enough people out here talking about it. And
yes.
And so, and actually I'll just share, it's menopause, right? It's no secret. Every woman goes through it. So, and half of the world are women. So it's like, it's a real issue that people have to deal with.
Yes.
So.
And it can make you feel so alone.
It does. It really does. And you know, the crazy thing is, and my wife said that, you know, as she's gotten more into studying the whole issue of menopause, and not that that's not what this episode is about, but it's funny how all, you know, it clearly shows you that not enough women are at the helms of the controls to be able to guide and direct the conversation mm-hmm. because half of the world, again, struggles and has to go through this at some point in time in their lives. Yeah. But yet there is not enough that's been studied of on it. If you talk to scientists, if you talk to doctors that work in that field, they will tell you we don't have enough data right. to help us to help alleviate what is a very serious issue for a lot of women midlife. And so, you know, I mean, it can really, you know, it can put you in a funk for years.
I believe it.
Until you come out of it.
Until you come out of it. Yes, I believe it.
It's a real, now my wife's doing great, but I mean, again, she is purposely taking the bull by the horns.
A
no
queen.
Pun intended, and just doing her thing.
A dang
so,
queen.
Yeah, exactly. So she's doing that.
Yeah, she is.
So I want to ask you, because again, part of you're saying about the whole documentation piece, and I know people see folks on Instagram and a lot of folks or just TikTok, whatever, it doesn't matter. You pick your social media platform of choice. It is, a lot of times it seems daunting. How do I go about? And even when I look at your stuff, I'm just like, man, you know, your social media game is next level. Mm-hmm. How did you develop that skill set? Because I would imagine that it wasn't like you didn't take a class at the Sam Walton College of Business for Social Media 101.
Right.
And it's kind of one of those things where there's enough data points and information out there to get ideas, to be encouraged by, to say, yeah, if they can do it, I can do it. But how did you step out of your comfort zone to document everything that you're doing? Because it has played a major role and getting you to the point that you're at right now.
So,
and that's a long-winded question.
No, that's okay. Yeah. But I think I just thought, okay, like social media, I think is a way to totally elevate your business and get you farther, maybe a little faster. Not that there isn't a ton of work behind it, because I am constantly thinking about videos and takes and angles and whatever and lighting and all that stuff. But where it started was from a simple strategy shift. And that was from, you know, on Instagram, whatever, wherever, is this is what I'm selling. Please buy from Ozark Charcuterie. We need your money. Please buy from us. To, hey guys, this is Mallory. Like, please buy from me. This is how I do it. This is how much it costs me. This is why I'm pricing it this way. Like, would love to have you purchase from me. From me.
Yeah.
Not from us.
Right.
Not we.
Yeah.
I, me.
Yeah.
And that is when people really bought in, because people do not buy from brands.
They buy from people.
They buy from people.
Absolutely.
And so when I made that shift, that is when I saw everything change for me. So like it was in April of last year, I started posting like tips and tricks on like catering stuff and like how to make a meat rose, how to, you know, make this little bento box. And then I posted this hack that I found because I accidentally double booked myself one day. That was before I had people working for me. And I was like, oh crap, what am I going to do? And so I did what I call the box method.
Okay.
And I built charcuterie in the box and I would take it to the venue. And then I, you know, put it in several boxes. So it's now this massive graze table. And I was in and out in 20 minutes instead of an hour and a half.
Wow.
And so I was able to bounce from one venue to the next and be done in, you know, 40, no, like, I don't know, an hour
yeah.
or so. But I mean, I still built everything at my, you know, in my kitchen, but I was able to go boom, boom, and it'd be done.
Yeah.
And so when I posted that and I was like, here's how I do it. No gatekeeping. I mean, that video has 10 million views alone on Instagram.
Oh my gosh.
And so my following went from 3,005. To like 30,000 in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then from there, it just has slowly increased and has gotten crazy cool.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and the key thing is that you do have your own personal brand.
Yes.
And you have the brand for Ozark Charcuterie.
Right.
But I like what you said earlier, though, because I think people, it has to be, you have to, and I tell people this all the time that are starting and running businesses, you can hide behind the brand of that business all you want. But in reality, most people are interacting with it because it's you, right? And that's why most people come on in my podcast. And it's like, oh, I know Randy, or, you know, I like what Randy's doing. It's like, yeah, the podcast is great, but people want to be on this podcast or have been on the podcast because they want to either have a relationship with me or they have a relationship with me and want to help whatever I'm doing.
Yeah. No, so, you hit it right spot on. They want a relationship with you. And I do have a personal brand. And so that has been also like part of the long game here. And I really am playing this long game because here shortly, I'm going to transition the Ozark charcuterie account over to Mallory Files.
Okay.
And it be kind of still what it is. It's just, I've slowly transitioned my audience into expecting different content.
Yep.
I'll still do, you know, some great catering hacks. The, you know, here's how to create this food item, like a charcuterie rose, business finance tips, all the things I'm still doing now, but just making it at Mallory Files instead of at Ozark Charcuterie. And when I opened this brick and mortar, I also started another account at Ozark Charcuterie and Wine Bar. Yeah. And like that has all of the business stuff on it that like people want to see, the events, all of that stuff.
Right.
And it does great. The vision for that is going great. So yeah, it's just understanding that like the strategy behind, it's really like science, I feel like, in statistics and understanding like what drives people to do certain things.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's, you know, even unpacking that, because I watch a lot of YouTube videos when people talk about the whole purpose of creating your own personal brand and the power of that personal brand. I follow a guy named Chris Doe and a few others that really talk about the whole concept of the personal brand and, you know, why sometimes it's like even trying to separate it from maybe a business that you're on. Again, it gets back to that whole issue of people want to work. People want to do things with people that they like.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of invariably always works out that way. And so what strategically had you decided that made you decide you wanted to kind of merge Ozark Charcuterie with your Mallory Files brand?
So unintentionally, I started, you know, putting my face out there more.
Mm-hmm.
So it was this really cool moment where somebody came up to me and was like, oh my gosh, you're Ozark Charcuterie. I'm like, yes, I am. Like, oh my God, it's so great to meet you. Like, tell me all about you. This is so great. I can't believe you recognize me. Oh my God, I feel famous. But it was that moment that stuck with me that they said, you're Ozark Charcuterie.
Yeah.
And not, oh, you're Mallory Files. And I just kept that in the back of my head. And then over time, like this occurrence happens often enough for me to say, okay, maybe it's time to think this through a little bit more. And I had this thought probably 6 months ago. And I knew that as I opened this brick and mortar, I couldn't transition my page over because that was too much change happening for my audience.
Mm-hmm.
And a really important thing about marketing is the confused mind says no.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to confuse my audience and turn them off. And so I thought, okay, you know, when I can get settled, I can transition it over. And also, you know, with the amount of followers that I have, there is a great opportunity for brand deals and stuff like that. And I've had a really hard time getting those because people look at my account and they say, but you're a business. Like, why should this, our company partner with a business?
Yeah.
Like, who are we paying? And so that has made it really difficult. I've definitely found companies that understand my content. But if you look at, you know, other content creators out there that are doing similar things like this, getting those dollars for these brand partnerships, it's because they're branded, their personal brand.
Sure.
So that's kind of been like the vision for the soon to be at Mallory Files account is like, I would love to open up because I've done all this work. I've served my audience, you know, and that is the top priority for me is serving my audience, giving them all the, like taking down all the walls because they interact with my content, they engage. But now I'm like, okay, I need to like actually monetize this.
Sure.
And so that was the biggest driver behind this, to be honest.
No, I get that. And I mean, that makes total sense. I mean, I thank you for unpacking that because I think some of the listeners that are listening are kind of like at the early stages of what do I do? I mean, we have a wide variety of people that listen to this podcast. And even I struggle with the whole concept of do I focus on I Am Northwest Arkansas or who I am at Randy Wilburn. And when I saw your Instagram for you, and I was like, wow, okay, she's got a large following for her. And so, and I've kind of gone on the other side of just diving deep into I Am Northwest Arkansas thinking, yeah, it is the brand. Cause I have had people come to me and say, you're I Am Northwest Arkansas, aren't you? Or like crazy, I was in line and somebody heard me talking. They were like, hey, are you that guy from the podcast? And I'm like, yes, I am. I've actually had that happen several times and it's quite unnerving because you're just like, yeah, you know, I don't think of my voice as being distinctive. Other people are like, oh, it's me. Yeah, I totally recognize that. So I'm like, all right, cool. And now that we've been on KUAF for a couple of years now on Ozarks at Large, Yeah, you get that. And so like my wife likes to say, oh, yeah, well, you know, you're like, you know, she's like telling my sons, you know, your dad's like a local celebrity around here. And I'm like, I don't feel that way, but I get what she's saying. But it's like, how do you like navigate those waters to let people know that, well, you know, we're one in the same, right? I Am Northwest Arkansas is me. I mean, theoretically, somebody else could take over the podcast. I don't know if it would have the same je ne sais quoi as it has right now. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. And I mean, I do feel like I make this what it is. And again, I'm not trying to be boastful. I'm just calling it the way I see it. Yeah. So
I guess I just did it until it didn't make sense anymore, you know, because, and I almost was like, let's not think too hard about it, because at the same time, you look at brands like Nike and Google, like they're run by actual humans behind the scenes. And you're like, I wonder like who's running that. And then if you look at Moseri or whatever, the creative behind like Instagram right now, he's doing like all these like Instagram hacks, like how to do this, how to do that. And people look at him like he is Instagram. And so I think just really going back to like, you don't necessarily have to separate it out. You can keep it together until it makes sense or doesn't make sense to keep it together. And also I think, you know, like I said earlier, like it's part of a long game strategy of like the confused mind says no, your audience will absolutely say unfollow, unengage if they feel betrayed, if they feel like, I don't know, whatever, because they are giving you a piece of their time and you have to hold that to like what it is, which is kind of, it's extremely valuable.
Yeah.
And so remembering that piece of like, how can I, within reason, like make my audience happy, serve them, and then combine or uncombine your brand versus your personal brand.
Sure.
And once they ultimately become one, then there's really maybe even no separating really needed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Cause I mean, I think one of the things as I went down and watched several of your videos is that, you know, yeah, you talk a lot about charcuterie boards and just this whole concept, but you also talk a lot about yourself and about some of the things that you're going through and stuff that you're dealing with, which actually makes it super relatable, right? Where people are like, oh, actually like her. Yeah. You know, my so-and-so is going through the same thing that she's going through. Or yeah, I know somebody else that has a 2-year-old kid that's going through this or that. Yeah. I mean, you know, I know somebody else that started their business a couple of years ago during the pandemic, and they are just kind of just grinding every day to make things work. It's like once you start to see that, you realize that, you know, you're not the only one, but people resonate with it because you are transparent and you share your story.
Yes, exactly. I think storytelling has definitely been how I've been able to be here, is because I have a true love for storytelling.
Yeah. Well, and so obviously because of that and because of, you know, making the commitment to move into this beautiful space, you know, you've obviously amped up the storytelling on social media, and that has then got more eyeballs, more engagement. How has that engagement really made the difference for you and your business over the period, this short period of time?
So yeah, just for example, we did a grand opening here and I ticketed it because I was hopeful that there would be enough people to, you know, fill the space. And we had a very strict capacity of 50, and it sold out in like an hour.
Wow.
And I...
That must have felt really good.
Oh my gosh, it felt so good. I even like get choked up thinking about it now, because I was thinking like all of this work that I had done, this might actually work. And so because it sold out so quickly, I was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, put this into two-hour periods. So 6 to 8 and 8 to 10. And so then I opened up the 8 to 10 o'clock and that sold out. And it took like 8 hours to sell out, but it sold out. And then I added a couple more tickets to each one because I was like, we can do this outside too. Like we can make this work. It's no big deal. It's one night. And yeah, it just so has impacted me deeply in that way. And then also just like being able to, I get messages often saying like, you are the reason I took the leap to start my charcuterie business.
Feels good, doesn't it?
It is an incredible feeling. Like sometimes I don't even know how to respond to these people because I'm like, this is incredible. Like this feels so amazing. And I am taking all of these things that I've like documented over the last like few years, and like I will make a course and like, you know, sell the course, but it's so cool that these people are able to take the information that I have learned and apply it and actually like start their own business. And 99% of the time it's women.
Yeah.
And that is like the coolest thing to me is that I can inspire a woman to do something like for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just an incredible feeling.
Yeah. And I love those kind of stories. And I feel the same way. I'm constantly encouraging people to start a podcast. I'm like, I don't, you know, and you said a word earlier, which is a word I use all the time. And it's kind of funny, like the cool kids use it, but it's like, oh, you know, my sons will be like, oh yeah, you're gatekeeping. You know, it's like, why are you keeping this to yourself? And it's like, you know, and some people do that as if nobody else in their mother is ever going to be able to pull out a cutting board and put some beautiful, you know, accoutrements on that cutting board with meat and cheese and other things. I mean, other people are going to do it. You might as well serve as the inspiration for it.
Right.
You know, and just be like, hey, you know, that's it. Where you get those attaboys or attagirls that thank you so much for being that guide that I use to get whatever I was doing off the ground.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I love that mentality though. Like just to get it up off, like you had that original like itch for it and
right.
then you're getting it. The inspiration gets it up off the ground. I think that's lovely. But yeah, I do have so much fun like creating that content and thinking like, what would somebody like me, like 3 years ago, need like to get me through the next spot? And I would go back to my little vlogs that I would have and think of, and look at the problem that I had. And now I know the solve for it. So then I make a video about it and post it. And I know that just about everybody who is trying to get somewhere in this industry has probably gone through the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I applaud everything that you've done. And it is exciting kind of hearing this story. And I don't know about you guys that are listening to this, but I was pumped up and am pumped up listening to Mallory's story. You got to follow her on Instagram and just watch some of her reels. And I'm going to have to offline get some additional advice from her as I continue to try to take my stories to another level, because I like telling stories. And I think all of us have a story to tell.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of the thing that I tell people all the time. We all have a story. We all have a platform. Some of us just haven't found it yet.
Right.
And it's just a matter of you finding that inner voice to be able to put it out there. Because I always say the world is waiting in eager expectation for what you have to share.
Yes. And most of the time, like the things that you're going through, somebody else has gone through or is going through. And like with what your wife is dealing with now, like it would have just be nice to see that somebody else is dealing with it too.
Yeah.
And that is what I continuously go back to, is like there is community over everything. You
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It takes a village.
It does.
That's for sure.
It does.
So, well, I mean, I do want to ask you these couple other questions.
Sure.
In terms of, you know, obviously you shared openly about your personal losses and challenges that you've gone through. I'm just curious to know how those experiences, like specifically with your sister, how has that kind of shaped the way that you now approach life and business? You know, because I think sometimes we try to separate different aspects of our lives, but it's hard to do.
I have the saying that, you know, the saying like, it's nothing personal, it's just business.
Right.
Nah. It's personal because it's business.
Right, right.
Like that is my go-to thing here. And because of what I've gone through with my sister and my dad, I think about people as people. Like yeah. You're not just a number. Like my employees are not just numbers. They're not just, you know, a cog in this wheel. Like they genuinely matter to me.
Yep.
And every person that walks in here, I'm like, I literally can't believe you're here right now. Like, this is so cool. Thank you so much for being here. It means so much to me that you would take time out of your day to be here. And all of that is because of these massive losses in my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I definitely have a different lens on when I look at people, look at couples because of my sister and what she experienced. So that is certainly something that, you know, I don't take lightly, but I try to advocate for domestic violence survivors yeah. and victims, and also the tertiary victims of domestic violence, which is what I am.
Right.
I was not directly impacted, but I was right
yeah.
in
yeah.
a tertiary way, which is like an avenue, like a perspective that isn't really spoken about a lot. But I think, at least in my head, I'm like, we can reach more people this way because everybody has a sister or a colleague or a mom or a daughter or a brother or whatever that has, you know, that could be dealing with this. And so like, let's try to reach people this way instead of speaking directly to the victims. Because I feel like as a tertiary victim of domestic violence, I can't sit and look at a survivor and say, this is what you should do. Right. Like, that is so tone deaf, you know, like I have no business speaking to somebody who is dealing with that.
Right.
But I think I do have business speaking to a sister of a victim. I mean, like, this is how I've gone about it,
sure,
you know?
Sure. Yeah. And I think sometimes, because again, whenever we're going through a very life altering situation, we think we're the only ones.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's just, you know, you need to understand that other people have been there, and some have even written the playbook for how you deal with it.
Right.
So I think it's important. So your work with the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter, what have you been able to do with that? I mean, I know what your inspiration is to support organizations like that, but what have you been able to do with the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter?
So in December, we did our, like, we have a few events and we ticket the events. And so part of like their pay to play, or just really come in, like paint their portrait, whatever, was a stocking stuffer for the gals at the women's shelter. So they brought their favorite under $10 self-care item. And like, that was the way they could come in and do the activity for the night. And we stocked all of their stockings in the women's shelter for Christmas. And so that was so amazing. And they even like had so much extra. So it was really cool to see like all these women show up for these women and children in the shelter. And then in February, we did something kind of different that's never been done before. But I don't know why I had this idea. I was just sitting at my computer, like kind of messing around on Canva. And I was like, let's make a like card making station for the women in the shelter. Because Love Month is so hard for them. And so I put up a little station and I just was like, okay, let's make some cards for these wonderful women. So yeah, it was so great. And we had people pick them up, and like the executive director picked them up and distribute them. And she was like, this is so great. Like this, we'd never done it before. And this was awesome. So we'll do it every year.
Yeah, I love that. Well, that's good. I mean, and certainly I know they'll appreciate that. And as actually, as at the time of us recording this, it's almost time for NWA Gives, which is a big time of year for giving.
It so is.
But regardless of when you're listening to this podcast, anytime, there's always a good time to give.
Yes.
You know, and especially if you have a skill set or ability or something that you can share with the rest of the community. I mean, please, I want to encourage you to get out there and share it, because you don't realize the difference that you can make in the life of somebody else.
Yes. And impacting somebody's life is like such an honor. You know, it is like the coolest thing in the whole wide world. I was able to kind of share my story as a whole at the Masquerade Ball in February.
Okay.
And so I got up on stage. I told it, you know, my story from my perspective. I didn't try to tell Kaylee, my sister's story at all. And I raised $20,000 on stage. And it was the coolest moment of my life, honestly.
Yeah, it had to have been very rewarding.
Yes, extremely, extremely rewarding.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, listen, as we try to land this plane, because I could talk to you for days about the stuff that you're doing and what you've gone through. Let's talk just real quickly about this space. When are you open? I know we're actually here recording this on a Monday. Today is a day that you're typically closed, right?
Correct.
Okay. So what are your hours? When can people come and check you guys out? And if they want to just reach out because they want to order something for an upcoming graduation party or something along those lines, what's the easiest way for people to learn more about the particulars here at Ozark Charcuterie?
Yeah. So all of that info is on our website at www.ozarkcharcuterie.com.
Okay.
And our hours were open Tuesday through Sunday.
Yeah.
And hours kind of vary, but mostly we are open from 3 to 9 o'clock most days.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Tuesdays and Sundays are a bit different, and Saturdays as well. So go on Google, look at the hours. Check it out. Yeah.
And we'll have to get you on our new hyperlocal business directory, Find It NWA, because I think it's important. You know, we've gotten a lot of restaurants on there, and I think it's important for people to know locally what's available to
them. Yeah, I would love that. I would love that. And then catering, people can order for any time, anywhere, and like we'll be there. That's our bread and butter. Like that's what we are the very, very best at. We're, you know, nailing down the restaurant aspect. It's pretty good, but we're still nailing it down. But the catering, we've got it down.
And for folks that are listening to this, I mean, we did shoot a video for this, but the restaurant has a really cool little bar. They've got kombucha back there. You've got some other items. I guess you're working on your alcohol license, or is that something that you'll have soon?
So we have our, you know, on-premise license, so we can sell by the bottle or by the glass, like okay. on-premise. Okay. But what I'm working on right now is our retail permit.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
we're going to retail wine. We'll have 12 to 15 bottles that you can come in, purchase, and take away without having to open the bottle.
Right, right. So like, so if I'm getting a charcuterie board from you, I could come in and grab a bottle of wine as well.
Exactly.
A nice Barolo or something like that.
Exactly. So, okay. We'll have wine of the month. We'll have a wine club. We'll do like a charcuterie board and a bottle, like we have so many ideas. Yeah.
Well, listen, I think anybody listening to you got to come down here and please support what Mallory's doing here at Ozark Charcuterie. It is such a very cool spot. But more importantly, I'm telling you, when you start to look at those Instagram photos and you see some of those charcuterie boards that she has made, your mouth will water. So not only will she give you some advice and guidance and encouragement as you're getting your business off the ground, but she can also keep you satisfied in your stomach as well with some really good food and just something that, you know, it's the kind of comfort food that I know we all aspire to be able to partake of. And so whether you're having a party, a get together, a celebration, retirement, birthday, doesn't matter what it is, reach out and give Mallory a call and just say, hey, I heard about you from the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. We'd love to order a charcuterie board for fill in the blank event, and she'll take good care of you. How far in advance do people need to, doesn't?
I mean, I can turn around something pretty quickly. Okay. I say like, give me 24 hours.
Right.
If it's a small box under 25 people, I can turn around in an hour.
Okay.
But if it's anything bigger than that, give me 24 hours.
I love it. Yeah. And I watched some of those videos where you were preparing those boxes. It's really cool. I mean, there's a whole method to your madness as you put all that
together.
There
is a method to my madness. And that's what I try to tell people. I'm like, y'all just listen to me. There's a method here.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love that. I love that. So no, well, this has really, really been great. I really appreciate it. Again, shout out to Mary Mickle and Andrea Ritchie for Resplendent and what those guys are doing. And certainly, I really appreciate the fact that they connected me with you and I get a chance to see it. I think that's what it's all about. It's one of the reasons why I do this podcast is for the connections that are created. Because as I tell my friends, your network is your net worth. And if you have a good network, then your net worth is off the charts. And so that makes it all worthwhile. So Mallory, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. If they want to connect with you on Instagram, it's at Mallory Files.
Yes.
So MallorieFiles. And then if they want to follow Ozark Charcuterie, it's at Ozark Charcuterie.
And Wine Bar.
And Wine Bar.
Correct.
Okay, I got you. So it's at Ozark Charcuterie and Wine Bar. All of that will be in the show notes. But listen, we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to sit with us. You've got a 2-year-old, you've got a dog at home and a husband, and an amazing charcuterie wine bar. So you've got a lot going on.
No, this was my honor.
It happen,
this is
so.
My honor yeah, to yeah. be here yeah. and talk to you. And I love, I'm a professional yapper, as they say. So I can talk all day.
No, you're doing a good job of it. So, well, listen, I appreciate you. And thank you so much again for joining us on the podcast. I don't think that this will be the last time. So we
Heck
really
yeah.
appreciate it.
Oh my gosh. Yes, of course. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. To learn more about us and find out ways that you can connect with us, please visit us at IamNorthwestArkansas.com. Remember, our podcast comes out every Monday, rain or shine. You can also catch us on a weekly episode of KUAF's Ozarks at Large. And I certainly want to encourage you, if you're listening to us on any podcasting platform, whether it's YouTube, Spotify, but especially if it's Apple, we would love for you to rate and review our podcast. Remember, rating is sharing and sharing is caring. So we really appreciate you doing that. I'm Randy Wilburn, the host of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast, and we'll see you back here next week for another new episode. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit IamNorthwestArkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.